Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return. I went up, I learned. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russell
Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pie. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Jake Trowbridge, and I'm trying to have a trading problem.
We're here to help, buddy. We're here to help. Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 282 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and we will. And it has begun. We wait for it every year at this point. The running back apocalypse is here in full swing. And before we just dive into the abyss, making our home among the void. Hey, Jake, how's it going?
Hey, what an introduction. What a high flying, excited space.
I gave you the lead in. The diving board in front of you, the pool is filled with darkness, just bodies. Dive right in.
Yeah, and I'm hitting my head on the bottom, I think, as we dive in. It's what just gruesomeness. What I'm glad I'm here to help us all as a populace sort yes. through this, though. I think we all kind of need a joint therapy session about this.
Yeah, there will be much crying and much consoling, and
we need to
like
sort
if I had to choose two people to be here for me for that, it would be you two. So here we go. But before we further bury ourselves in, I'm running out of words, into the oubliette of sadness.
Labyrinth. I don't even know what that word is.
Go watch Labyrinth. Jake, why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
I'd be happy to. I'm Jake Trowbridge. I'm the co-host of the Drinking and Talking Fantasy Football Podcast, also a video contributor for Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life. I make dumb video content, and somebody else has to post it and deal with it. You can find me at Jake Trowbridge on Twitter.
So I need to just talk for a second about how old I really am. So I scroll on the TikToks, and for the past 2 weeks, at least, I've scrolled, and all of a sudden, look, there's Jake talking to us live. So I'm like, ooh, let me go look at this. So I pop in, and I try and start typing, like, hearts, and oh my god, it's Jake Trowbridge, I love you. And then, for some reason, it doesn't go anywhere. Or Jake just sees it, and he's like, oh, it's Russ. Oh, shit, I'll never just look away. But I firmly believe that Jake would never do that to me. So.
Never. I'm heartened to hear that you even do that. I will say, and this is nothing to do with me. I have to pre-apologize for almost patting myself on the back. That's how Midwestern I am right now. Yeah. The TikTok, the kids want the TikTok. There's so many comments that come in flying. It's like, and my finger can't even keep up. And then I don't know if you know about TikTok, but when you scroll comments, it's like you get through three and they're like, that's enough, to the bottom of the comments with you. And then there's been like 100 comments since then. I just can't keep up, Russ. I can't keep up.
All right. So I think what I need to do is A, figure out if I am in fact sending these comments. And if I do, send more.
It's just constant. Just hammer
until
that
I get kicked off. This guy is a bot and is a pain in the ass. He's gone.
TikTok should never. But they might. They you never would know.
Never. I'm way too beloved for that to happen with my 16 followers.
That's right. You better recognize.
Okay, so let's do it. Rocky, your laundry was done 3 minutes ago. Why is it bugging again?
I need to go shut that off.
Okay, so the running back apocalypse has started, and there was three major ones. I mean, we came into this week with Austin Eckler and Aaron Jones already out. So, like, I honestly don't even count them. Like, I did a live stream today. Well, we do it every single week for Fantasy Cares on Tuesday to go over, like, the leaderboard for Scott Fishbowl and just some fun stuff. And we do a lot of giveaways. I know, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can see me holding up this Kelly Green DeAndre Swift autograph jersey we'll be giving away next week. But I did one of my slides for the live stream was talking about they hurt, so we are hurt was the title of the slide. And it was Chubb, Saquon, and David Montgomery. And I put honorable mention Aaron Jones and Austin Eckler because, like, they sort of count in this, but, like, they don't really count because they were hurt already. So
I have a team where they're my only two main running backs. They count, Russ.
But like, they literally limped into the apocalypse.
True.
They're the OGs.
Yeah. Right? Like, they were apocalypsing before it was cool.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we have David Okay, so I loved this David Montgomery situation. Not that he was hurt. That came out in very poor context. So he gets hurt, and he tells reporter it's going to take a couple of weeks for his quad to get healthy. And then Dan Campbell's like, no, man, you're day-to-day.
Okay. As if running backs didn't have any previous leverage. Now they don't even have bodily autonomy to decide when they're ready to play in any capacity.
It's coaches wanting to play games. Like, I saw a quote today where Daboll's pretending that Saquon might play Thursday.
Like, well, also, I love the phrasing of, like, it's just an ordinary ankle sprain.
Yeah, like, I saw
a high ankle sprain. It's not a low ankle sprain. It's just an ordinary ankle sprain. It's the most boring of mundane.
It's like when you hit the bottom step wrong, it's all this.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yes. Ooh. Stubbed his toe a little bit and just turn, you know. But like they said, he's going to be out 3-ish weeks. And so I was watching the Steelers and Browns game. And as I do, because my brain can't do one thing, I was playing on my phone while I was watching the game. So playing a game. I look up and all of a sudden everyone's on their knees and like someone's hurt. It looks like Minkah Fitzpatrick was hurt at first. And then they show a replay and they show it in normal speed. And at normal speed, it just looks like Chubb got flipped over and landed on the back of his head. I'm like, oh man, that's a concussion. And then all of a sudden they show him holding his knee. And I'm like, all right, I missed something. But then he gets carted off and they start talking about how terrible that was. And I'm like, I missed something and I'm glad I missed something. Like, because you don't want to see that much terribleness. And then Twitter being Twitter, and I'm still calling it Twitter, just can't let you miss that. So I'm morning scrolling, you're just barely awake. And then there's someone who took a 3-second loop of his leg going the wrong direction and just on repeat, just like, okay, now I've seen it 6 times, even though I've scrolled as fast as I possibly could.
It's so grotesque. It's so abnormally grotesque. Like, I'm used to seeing injuries, and we've seen some pretty awful ones, even just over the course of the last couple of seasons. We've seen some really bad stuff go down. And I wasn't prepared for the opposite bending situation. And it's just gnarly.
Yeah. And of course, this being the leg that he injured, like, well, injured's the wrong word, destroyed in college. I guess, like, do you see him coming back? Like, I can't see him walking normal ever again. Like, in my head, he's walking with a cane at 26, 27 years old. Like, that's, like,
well, it's like quarterbacks, like with the Alex Smith injury, if there's, I guess, a recent parallel, maybe it's Alex
destroying
Smith.
Destroying your body and then coming back anyway.
And he came back. He wasn't back when he came back, but he, I mean, good for him for even getting out there and playing. With a running back, it's just such an entirely different situation and his entire style. Like, there's I just don't know how you can come back and be Nick Chubb again.
And not just a running back, but a running back who's almost 28.
Yeah.
And like Jake said, like the way he, like that dude, it is a power runner. He is, and a very good, like, he's just, I got nothing. Like, I really don't have it. Like, and someone asked, like, are you selling Chubb now? And I'm like, for literally anything. If someone sends, like, if, I mean, I don't, after all of that, like, I went the entire 9-point scoring season saying, I'm not really going to, I don't trade for running backs in the 9-point scoring season. It doesn't make sense. But if I'm going to, it's most likely going to be, it's either Breece Hall or Nick Chubb. I made a couple of trades for Breece Hall. I somehow made zero for Nick Chubb. I don't want to say I saw this. Like, that is not the intent of that. It's just to say, you know, if I did have a single share of Nick Chubb, someone can send me just about anything, and I would probably say yes at this point. Now, do I want it to be more than a third? Yeah. But, like, if it comes down to it, would I take it? Probably. Like, first, like, we're talking how long before he even can step on a field again, no less what he would be if he ever did. Like, it's just,
Rocky hit it. Like, 28 years old already. If a 24-year-old running back had this happen to them, I would still be like, I just don't think that they come back. Or when they do, it's going to be like a very, very heavily modified lower version of that. And like a 28-year-old, I just don't see, I would love nothing more than the comeback story to be next year or the year after Nick Chubb out on the football field. And that would be an amazing feel-good story. But the probability of that has to be like 2% at best. So, yeah, I'm with you in trading him away, unfortunately.
Yeah, it feels like a career ender to me. Like, I don't, and like Jay said, I mean, even if he somehow were to come back, he's going to be like someone's like 5-carry-a-game guy, probably, or something like that.
Yeah. And to make it, to take it in the less real direction, because that's kind of what this show is and what we have to do. I, of course, was going up against a team in a best ball league that had Jerome Ford on it. So I lost. But so Jerome Ford, if you're in a dynasty league, is on someone's team. Like, that's not a guy that's on the waiver wire. He's a second string running back in a 12-team league, especially like trade addicts leagues. Our rosters are huge, and I still have no idea why. No, I know why, because someone's like, you should make it this large. And I said, okay. That's really all it was. I had no idea what I was doing. I'd never commissioned a dynasty league before. And I was just like, okay. And Frank is saying, keep in mind the Browns talked to Hunt today. Their Browns are bringing someone in, and it's not going to be a nobody, but whoever they do bring in is not going to be what Jerome Ford is. They're going to bring in someone more, like, even if it is Hunt, they're not going to be used as the receiving back like we think Hunt will be used or was used as. Like, so are you, man, like, it's tough. Like, do you think you can get Jerome Ford for less than a first right now?
If this Kareem Hunt news plays out a little bit further, I think that you maybe could. It just depends on the perspective of the person who rosters him. I think there's enough people who, like Frank, think that, you know, Kareem Hunt coming in is going to really shake things up and is going to move Jerome Ford down a tier. So I'm almost hoping that those talks do escalate, because I think then you have some wiggle room to get him for a second round pick. And I would be comfortable doing that, but I'm not comfortable giving up a first for him still.
And then Frank just makes it all the more worse saying, what if it's Jonathan Taylor? with the amount they paid to Deshaun Watson, they can't afford him, I'm sure.
Well, let's go down. What if it's Cam Akers?
That would be great. How much is it for Jerome Ford?
It's great for his trade value, because then I don't even know if you have to give a second. He's probably still got to give close to it. And I would.
Yeah,
like, Cam Akers is in the same tier as Kareem Hunt for me.
Yeah, I don't care at all. If either Akers or Hunt are on there, it's still the Jerome Ford show. Because you can't, Jerome Ford can't be an every down back. Most running backs should not be every down backs. I mean, I would give a second for Jerome Ford at this point, probably without thinking about it on a competing team. Mm-hmm. I saw a trade go down that was, again, in a different dynasty best ball league. And it was pretty much Jerome Ford and a fourth for crappy tight end and a second. So it was pretty much Jerome Ford for a second. And I was just like, I wish I paid attention to fantasy football today and I totally would have sent that. Like that's like I want to go out and send those seconds all day, every day, right now. I usually, because like we're going to go and talk about Saquon getting hurt next, and I know that there's a very big difference is the fact that it's only a couple of weeks. But like Matt Breida, or I can never, Eric Gray, I think is the other running back there. I can never remember Gray or Hull, who went to New York or who went to Indianapolis. I'm pretty sure it's Gray. But like, yeah. Regardless of who they are, I'm not starting them this week. I'm not going out or looking to like I have Saquon on the team. I got offered Matt Breida for a third. And honestly, I rejected it. Like I could have taken that and yeah. It would have been the most harmless thing ever, but I'm just like, I don't want to start Matt Breida.
And have more respect for your third round picks, Russ. I'm glad that you do. I think more people should, quite frankly. Don't go giving up thirds for Breida. I think if we've learned any lesson from Saquon's previous absences, it's that nobody in the backfield is going to give you Saquon production, or it's going to be the person you didn't expect in the first place. So why even bother? That's how I look at it.
And especially don't give up a third for 3 weeks of Breida.
Yeah.
Like it's not even like a season of Brady.
And then Frank says, you say that, but Chubb was the highest paid running back in the league. If JT wants that, then where better? So, okay, but still, Chubb is still on the books for now. I don't think that goes away, which makes it even harder. Again, the salary cap can absolutely be fake. So, like, this is all conjecture anyway. All right, so and David Montgomery's out for a couple of weeks. I feel like there's nothing really to talk about because it's like, oh, go buy Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, that's not how that works.
No. Do you bother with a spot pickup if he's out there with Bam Knight, with Zonovan Knight? Because I did see he got activated from their practice squad. I think he's more likely to be like the quote-unquote Thunder in there as opposed to like Craig Reynolds, I think, is the other guy. Like, I'd consider actually picking up Zonovan Knight if he's out there.
Yeah, if it comes to – if we're talking Breida, if Breida's on the waiver wire, I will spend fab on just about anything.
Yeah.
Because my hope would then be to sell him for a third and then gain that pick. Like, because if I could sell 80% of my fab for a third right now, I would do it in every single league. Because chances are, I usually forget about the waiver wire every single week. So why even have it?
And if I do remember, I don't get through all 35 leagues anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, keep a little bit just in case I need it at some point, but like, no, I would be absolutely fine. Just go. So, all right. So we're going to go away from this because we're still going to talk about almost all of these situations in the trades that are that were done because we got a lot of them this week and a lot of them was before the apocalypse, though the apocalypse did put a lot of teams into fire sale mode. And it's going to be some fun. But Jake, what do you want to do first? Do you want to do trade addicts trades or listener questions first?
You know, I think we should jump into the questions first before we explore the trades.
All right, let's go. The first one, at Nick Martinez BR, one of the many beloved Nick Martinez's, which player trend are you most confident in being true all season, usage, scoring, etc., and one you're most confident in being a two-week fluke?
Well, clearly Puka is going to average 17 and a half targets a game. That's
15 and then 20 is yeah. When you see 15 targets next game, you're like, all right, well now he's going to get 15 catches. That's just the way that works, right?
Yeah.
The amount of targets you had one game is the amount of catches you have the next one.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So 20 absurd. Catches next game, right?
Yeah. To the moon.
Can I talk about the fluke first? Cause I think it's more, enjoyable.
Yeah, go for it, man.
And it's probably more obvious, too. Like, obviously, all of the best quarterbacks, they're going to be fine. Like, there's no way that Joe Burrow continues to do what Joe Burrow's done these first 2 weeks. That's a very obvious one. But A.J. Brown, also very obvious. But A.J. Brown, I think people are freaking out because they see Devontae Smith getting this work. It's like AJ Brown, that is who he is. He's just younger Mike Evans. You have to take these lumps. You normally hope they don't come right out of the gate for the season, but they're always there. Now you're just getting them out of the way early. That's how I look at AJ Brown. And next week, I know he's been a squeaky wheel on the sidelines, especially last week. So I'm sure he's going to get that grease.
Yeah, but also, like, remember how bad, in general, the Eagles offense looked for the first half of week one. And then how bad their line was doing against the pass rush in week two. Like, maybe their line might just be bad and that's something they have to overcome. But, like, I feel like you're right. Like, I feel like that offense needs to gel a little bit and then everything will absolutely be fine. And, you're absolutely right. The problem, I think, was last year AJ Brown was too damn good. Like, sure. He didn't have those lump games. He just crushed it. That's not always going to happen. But the great thing about DeVonta Smith is no matter how few catches AJ Brown gets, he's always going to get more coverage than DeVonta Smith will. And while AJ Brown can absolutely get deep, DeVonta Smith is the deep guy. So, like, in the first game, he came out with a good stat line, but half of it was on one play. Like, he caught a 50-something yard touchdown. That was most of his points. So, like, it's like, I agree completely. I think that's going to even out. Like, this happened a little bit last year where people were starting to think that, oh, maybe it is DeVonta. And then all of a sudden, AJ Brown started putting up 30 points a game. It's just like, right. Pump brakes.
For sure. Yeah. Rocky, I hope that you agree with my Eagles take. That's all I really want, by the way, coming out of this. It's just for him to agree with something that I've said about the Philadelphia Eagles.
AJ Brown is fine. And in terms of real four words, Kirk Cousins QB1.
Yeah, baby.
All year, baby.
Ride it to the championships. Here we go.
Well, the reason I can be okay with that is because that team is not great at all. Like, I mean, their defense is worse than it has been, and their line is not great either. So he's been getting it out very quickly. And then the great thing about Kirk Cousins is he'll stand there and he'll get hit. So he'll still let deep plays develop. And the problem is, half the time he underthrows it because he's getting wailed as he's throwing and it gets intercepted. But sometimes you get 60-yard Jordan Addison touchdowns. I mean, it's a wonderful give and take, but if you score four touchdowns, two interceptions isn't the biggest deal.
Yeah. And I was joking. He's not going to be the QB1.
No, he will.
I say it every year. He's a QB1 every single goddamn year, and no one wants to believe it. But
hey, man, I have so many teams where my QBs are Kirk Cousins and Tua Tagovailoa, and I'm thrilled right now.
I have a ton of both.
But what we need to talk about that we did not talk about, and it was so great that last week we got the question about what is the deal with Dynasty's love for DeAndre Swift? And we were just like, well, it's dead now.
Yeah. And even I was like that, yeah.
Oops. See, like, here's what sucks about the running back position, besides the fact that they get hurt so much, besides, shorter careers in real life, their contracts screw them over completely. When it comes to wide receivers, you're just like, situation doesn't matter. Situations change, they can overcome it. But when it's running backs, I don't think that works. We just saw what happens when a coach just doesn't want to put a player in. Like, we saw it for years with Mark Ingram on the Saints, just never getting played. And then he goes to the Ravens and scores, like, what was it, like 21 touchdowns? Like, and why? Did DeAndre Swift get one carry?
I don't know. I was thinking,
hold on. Brian Johnson, I think, is the offensive coordinator.
Yes.
We need a live stream. Brian Johnson, hands taped to the wall. DeAndre Swift walks up, goes like that gymnastics chalk, and gets to slap him in the face as hard as he can.
Like, I was baffled week one when he didn't get any – he got two touches and not many snaps. And I was starting to believe – like, I was wondering, is my fantasy brain just overtaking my NFL brain? And I just believe DeAndre Swift is that much better because he's – he was a better prospect and he's a better fantasy asset. And no, DeAndre Swift is just that much better. I mean, it was ridiculous. I was saying it last week. I'm like, why is DeAndre Swift not touching the ball? And I just felt like, and there was a drum beat too, like all during the, like I listened to Eagles pods, as I mentioned before, just like NFL Eagles pods. And beat reporters were saying that Gainwell was being used a lot more in the practices and walkthroughs and all that stuff than Swift with the first teamers. So after I saw week one, that's why on this pod last week, I'm just like, okay, I guess they're not using it. and then Gainwell had to get hurt for it to happen. But after that last week, he's going to be the guy. He's not going to be like a bell cow, because DeAndre Swift is never going to be a bell cow, but he's going to be the lead guy.
That one carry in retrospect in week one, by the way, feels even more spiteful after seeing week two. Like that one, yeah. Almost, it would have been better if he hadn't gotten anything. If he had just not touched the ball.
Healthy, I think healthy scratch, been a better one. You know.
Yeah. Now next week, Water Boy, Penny's going to get it 18 times.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go to your division, Jake, because you're a Packer guy. Sure. Justin Fields. Why? Okay, so I think I saw that, like, throughout the entire season, the first two games, there was about four designed runs for Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. So we're back to the beginning of last season all over again. I'm a Justin Fields fan. I still think that this is Nagy was gone and we thought everything was going to be fine. And halfway through the season, well, no, like a third of the way through the season last year, it seemed like heads were removed from butts. And it was going to be not fine, because like you run that much and your career is going to be way too short, but like it would be better. They would be able to build an offense. It was going to be Justin Fields' offense. And then this season happened and they did not do that. And I feel like they're going to realize again that they are being dumb, but
they're the Bears, so who knows?
They're the Bears, and who the hell knows? So
what do you guys think? How long does that take for them to finally realize it? Do we get a third of the season where they don't realize it? Is it half the season where they don't realize it? Do they just get so stubborn? With Justin Fields every year, because I absolutely agree with you, but it feels like they, rather than trying to build on the things that Justin Fields does well and say, okay, he does this well, we can work on the other stuff while he's doing that well. Instead of doing that, they say, let's tear it down to the studs. We're just going to start over from scratch with him, because that's the only way to fix his game. And it seems like nonsense. It seems like absolute nonsense to not let him run the ball. I had seen somebody posit that maybe he doesn't want to run as much this year because he was a little bit more of a pocket passer in college and he wants to get back to that. But if you're the coaching staff, I think you got to talk him out of that.
Yeah. And to your point, that's what happened with Jalen Hurts 2 years ago. They were doing what he did well and trying to work on the other stuff. And then we saw it come to fruition last year. So yeah, I think I saw somewhere too, maybe it might've been Twitter somewhere else, that a stat where over the second half of last year, I think he had 9 designed runs per game.
Yeah.
And now you had what you said, 4 in the season, or was it 4 per game? Yeah.
Season.
Yeah. So 2, you need like an average of 2 a game. Like, yeah, it's insane.
Like it would be hard to watch it get worse. So I have to say, I think it's getting better. It's going to get better. But like right now, like he was around QB 8-ish for me. Like he was, after you get past like that top 6, the really good guys, and then it was Lawrence and then Fields. And I think I'm at the point where I'm like Tua, I think, jumped all of that after the first two games. I might even take Dak ahead of Fields. Man, if I want to win right now, I'd take Cousins ahead of Fields. Because yeah, if he's not going to run, what's the upside of him until he develops? So, like, I think his value is going to hurt if we go another 2 weeks and it's like this again. And that makes
For fantasy, if he develops into a really good quality NFL starting quarterback, he's still probably like the fantasy quarterback 16 if he's not running. So even at his upside there as a passer, like it's just, that offense isn't going to allow him to just be a passing dynamo exclusively to get our fantasy points. So we still need the rushing. And I'm absolutely putting Trevor over him handily at this point. I know Trevor's had some of his own fantasy issues, especially in week 2, but Yeah, I'm at that point.
Hey, week one, I don't care because of what he did with Calvin Ridley. That's fine. That's fine. but let's go to your actual team, because I'm very curious to get someone's opinion on Jordan Love. Is he good?
I'm fighting with myself all the time over this. And by all the time, I mean the last 2 weeks.
Right.
Jordan Love, thank you for not making me depressed off the bat. Like, you look like a very competent and capable quarterback. And then for fantasy, I think, okay, what's really going on here? So you're the quarterback two? You're the quarterback two. You didn't have Christian Watson out there. You were missing your left tackle in week two. And he probably will be for several other games, because that's how Bakhtiari rolls. But yes. Then you're also missing Aaron Jones, and you're still quarterback two. So although I hesitate to say he can keep up with this, if he gets those pieces back, maybe he can kind of almost keep up with it. I think seeing him as an actual fringe QB1 now makes sense, and that would have been unheard of to hear somebody say in the offseason.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Sorry, go ahead, Rock.
I was just going to say, I just did some really, really basic math on my own. And he has an 11.2 touchdown percentage through two games. So I don't think he's going to keep that up. He's got 52 attempts and 6 touchdowns. So, yeah.
Remember,
it's going to go up.
I was going to say, Christian Watson scores 2 touchdowns a game, so he needs a lock there.
Yeah, just a little, you know, word of caution there. Like, he's looking better than I expected, but that touchdown percentage is not going to last the entire season. And he's averaging 26 attempts through the first 2 games, which is not ideal for great fantasy production. So I'm kind of in wait-and-see mode. I'm not totally on board with the QB5 Jordan Love.
I was going towards.
Oh, I know, but I know you weren't saying he was QB5. But I'm just saying, I'm still holding out. I was not sure what to think coming in. I'm still not sure what to think.
Yeah, but I was like more like along the lines of where Jake was at the end, where he's like fringe back end QB1. Like when you get to that, like right now, if you're staring at Jordan Love, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud. You didn't think that would be a question among the three of those 3 weeks ago. Like, it would be those rookies, and you wouldn't even really think about it. Now it's like, well, I mean, the rookies don't look bad, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, for what it's worth, I'd still take Stroud over him right now, Stroud, but not Young.
Would I?
It was really, like, it's... We see Stroud progress in games right now, and it weirds me out. Like, in this week, I watched the first quarter, and I'm like, he's holding the ball so long. He's looking at half the field, and then all of a sudden, you see him moving his head back and forth, and then he's getting the ball out fast. I'm like, can he read my mind? Did he hear me? You're welcome, CJ Stroud. like he got better as that game went on. But again, like, regardless of actual preference, like, that was nowhere, like, Jordan Love was coming into the season probably ADP around like QB 24-ish, and that seemed right. And now it's not. Like, without even thinking about it, he's got to be around that 12 to 15 area pretty easily, if not higher, depending on what you want your teams to look like. It's weird, and I think it's real. Like, of course, again, not the 11% touchdowns and all that stuff, but clearly he's going to drop a little bit, but like, I didn't see him fitting in that 20, 21 point per game quarterback bunch. And it looks like that's probably what he's going to fit into. All right. We should go on to the next question. We can talk about this one for like an hour. At Noob Engineer. Hello. Hi. I sent a trade offer out 9 days ago for Najee Harris for my 24 first. I forgot about it. It went through right after the game last night. Do you fine gentlemen think I can salvage this trade by having a solid flex all season, or should I cry in the shower? This is when one of my now favorite GIFs would be in use, and it's from The Road to El Dorado, which both is good. Both is good. Like, like, parts of the Pittsburgh offense can do sort of seem a little okay than compared to last season when it was okay. No, they really don't. But like, Najee's getting the work, and that's all you could really cling to. He's still getting 22 catches. Of course, he does like 49 yards on 22 runs. Yeah, like, I mean, First of all, 9 days. MFL cuts it at 7, and that makes me so happy.
I was just going to say that. Like, what platforms are leaving trades out there for 9 days?
And it's funny. I was never like this, but until I got screwed over with Deshaun Watson's news, like, I usually, like, send out trades and just forget about it. But, like, now on Sunday morning when I'm setting my lineups, I revoke everything. I used to never do that because it's like, whatever, I offered the trade. As long as no one got hurt in the game, which has happened to me also, you know, but like, so I would go in and I would revoke. Now I go in and I revoke everything. So nothing goes past 7 days anyway. But like, look, Najee's going to score you 10 points a game just based on the amount of work he gets.
Do you know what he's gotten in the first two games, Russ?
Well, he had like 9 points something, didn't he?
No. Or did he? In work wise, he's got 8 touches and 11 touches.
Najee?
Yeah.
Can I say at least this? This is what I would give as my consolation prize. He's had terrible matchups, hasn't been good for him, and he gets the Raiders this week. If you want to figure out a way to immediately trade him off your team after this week is probably going to be the time to do it. I don't know if you can get a first back. I don't know if anybody else is willing to give up a first after that.
No.
But I do think he will have many better matchups ahead. And I think that even if he's used sparingly right now, I think it's just because the backfield is used sparingly right now. I don't know if that's intentional. I don't know if the coaching staff is smart enough to make that intentional or not, but maybe it is.
He's got the Texans the week after, by the way. So maybe hold him for 2 more weeks and then try and sell him.
There we go.
I'm just going to sit here scrolling through a roster page in MFL to think who I was thinking about that had like 22 touches for 49 yards this week, and that's what was stuck in my head. clearly, it was not Najee Harris.
Yeah, I think Warren's been cutting into his work. That's part of the problem, I believe.
Well, we're in the league where to people faster makes it look like they're better. Like, Najee's not supposed to be fast. No. Warren is fast. Like, it's a little bit of a different thing, but also, like, the play calling is so bad. So bad. And poor Najee. Like, it's all I can really think to say. Poor Najee. Like, he's better than what they're doing to him.
And not that it's everything, but on these 16 carries, he's averaging, like, 4.7 yards a carry. It's not like he's apparently playing poorly. Like, I haven't seen both games, but 16 for 74 is a decent yards per, not that yards per carry is everything, but it's not like he's doing 22 for 49 or something like that. They're just, I mean, I guess the first game they were down a ton. And Warren's just getting mixed in. So he only got 10 carries and 1 catch last game.
Sorry, noob. I don't know what to say about that.
It is unfortunate.
At Kai's the, what would you be willing to give up for Puka Nacua? Rebuilding team was offered a late 24 first. The offering team has the rebuilders first. What kind of player do you think would need to add to obtain the early first back? The fact that you can get a first for Puka is like a snap, except yes, to me. So if you want to get your first back with Puka, you need to add whatever it would take to get your first back.
Pretty much.
Sorry. No one is giving up a rebuilder's first and considering Puka part of the trade. Like, you're going to need to give whatever and then throw in Puka to get the deal done. I've seen a couple of Puka trades in the past couple of days. And it's funny because, like, we talked about him last week on the DLF trade show where it was after one game and we're just like, oh, someone traded Puka for Luke Musgrave. And it's just like, all right, well, you drafted Puka in the fourth. Musgrave was drafted at the end of the second, beginning of third. Profit. Good for you. You know, and Musgrave's he's doing pretty good, you know, and with tight end being the crap wasteland that it is, it's good to have a guy who's getting 6-7 targets a game. And we saw Puka in a second for a first, and I'm like, brilliant. That is literally brilliant. Like, that is what you should be doing. And now Puka for a first is happening. I'm not giving up a first for him.
No.
And I have to be honest, I have him on a lot of teams because I was actually a fan of the player. I didn't see this coming. Let me put that out there. Like, no. But, like, I love that he made no sense to me. Like, I'm a sucker for the ex-body type. Like, give me a 6'3", 200-something pound dude, and I want that guy on my fantasy team. But this is he's like 6'2", 210, but, like, really good in open space. It's just like, wait, what? Who? Okay, yes. I want you. Yes, I like that. If someone offered me a first right now, chances are I'm taking it. And it might not matter what my team is like. If I'm rebuilding, absolutely. I have him in TA9, by the way. I think it is, if anybody wants to come a call in. But like, if I have him on a good team and someone offers me a first, I think there's just something more stable I can do with it. You know, like something I feel better about long term, because like, what's Puka going to be when Cooper Kupp comes back? And Cooper right. Kupp's coming back.
Yeah. This is a stupid question, but I do think it's worth asking, even if it is stupid, because there's an outside chance that it happens. Is it Puka that remains the number two in that offense when Cooper Kupp comes back? Or are they so similar in the style and the routes that they run that maybe Tutu is actually the number two? Tutu is number two. Even when Cooper Kupp comes back and Puka has to take a little bit of a backseat, I think it's a question to ask. I don't know that I'm smart enough to answer it, but I do think that Puka is being comped to like Deebo Samuel right now. And even Deebo Samuel was kind of a 1 year outlier
because he ran the ball
for fantasy.
Yeah.
I do think Puka's the number two. One, just because I'm not a big believer in Atwell, but also I think I mentioned this. I think it was on last week's pod after he went off the first week. I heard on late round QB, JJ Zacharyson's pod, that he ran 74% of his routes from the outside, and Kupp's more of a slot guy. So I do think that he can also, he can be the number two. He can be the outside guy. And while Kupp's working, I mean, he's not going to catch 10, 15 balls a game, but I he's shown enough to me that, yeah, I mean, I'd give a second. I'm not giving a first.
Yeah, but like, and also if you do have a contending team and throwing your contending second, I feel like that's an awesome move because you're going to get a couple of games where, all right, man, he's not going to get 20 receptions next week. Like that trend is not going to keep going. But like, even when Kupp comes back, if you see Puka still getting like 8 targets a game, it seems like he could do enough with that to be worthwhile in your lineup. So like, I think I don't think he's going to disappear. I don't think he stays like this. Like, I don't think Cooper Kupp comes back and Cooper Kupp becomes the wide receiver too. Like that's not going to happen. But Frank asks a good question. Like, one for one, who would you trade for Puka? Like, who would you trade Puka away for if you were on a competing team and you wanted someone that was more trustworthy? I saw in the trade finder, Puka for Keenan Allen. And I said yes to that very quickly because Keenan is being used very, very, very well, like he should be. And I feel more dependable on the entire season about it. But that is probably floor for Puka's value right now. So I think that might be my answer. He said, what about Mike Evans? And right now with the way the Bucks are playing well, like, yeah, maybe I do it for Evans also. Though that scares me a little bit to see how long this rolls for, because I love Baker, but like, it's Baker.
I was going to say, I'm worried about the floor dropping out.
They do Baker. Get the Eagles banged up secondary next week, though. So,
yeah, that's right.
Kirk Cousins just lit up. So, I think Kirk Cousins can't light up all sorts of teams, but he lit them up in particular last week.
Last question at Ascending Descent. Buy low or must sell on Justin Fields and Cam Akers? How and when do you decide whether to sell the farm for points or trade away points? All right, well, question at a time. Well, I think we all sort of talked about Justin Fields enough already. Like, I don't think you sell now because I don't think his value is going to get all that much lower. It's low. So, like, if you're selling now, you're believing that he won't get better. And if you don't believe he's going to get better, you might as well just take what you can get, right? Like, because if you think he's going to stay bad, his value could only go down. So it really depends on you, because this, to me, it shouldn't be where he is. I think he is better than this. So I think his value is going to go up. I'm not going out and acquiring him, because seeing what has happened for the first 2 weeks of the season, completely lost faith in whatever the Bears think they're doing, because it seemed like they had it figured out, and then it went away. Cam Akers, he's just kind of dead to me at this point. I think he's dead.
Dead to the Rams coaching staff. I was going to say. I don't know who else. What offense does he go to? Where if they do actually trade him, that you go, oh great, now I have a really usable, consistent fantasy asset. I was trying to think of one. I was like, if he goes to the Browns, they'll throw him out there for some snaps, but I don't see him being a solid, usable fantasy asset.
I don't see him being an RB1, but I think I would give him more of a chance here than you. Maybe I'm not as big a Jerome Ford guy as you two are, but if they were to trade for Cam Akers knowing they have Jerome Ford, I think Cam Akers is, well, we all thought Cam Akers was more talented than Jerome Ford. So I'm not ready to give up on him just because the Rams hate him.
Well, I mean, I think you have to just figure what you believe the ceiling of Cam Akers is, even in the best situation.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and it seems like right now it seems like low, mid RB2 at best.
Yeah.
And I think that happens in the Browns. Like, Frank is bringing up the Ravens, which honestly, I just want them to get Jonathan Taylor. If he joins the Ravens, my problem is he is Gus Edwards at this point to me. So like, he's just another one in the mix. At least if he goes to the Browns, he's the better runner of the football to me, you know, so he'll be in there for running back plays. Like when they used to do the Chubb and Hunt split, Akers will play that low-level Chubb role, even though Ford, I think, will get more of the workload. So, like honestly, but that's really it, though. Like, there's nowhere else for him to go. Like, even Miami at this point, and I mean, in 6 minutes when Raheem Mostert gets hurt, it'll be great. But, like, for it seems like as long as Mostert is healthy, whenever Wilson comes back, if, hey, A-Chain got, like, what, one carry last week? Yeah.
I know. Speaking of Miami, what is up with the A-Chain hate? Like, Ahmed was getting more work than A-Chain was.
I like, part of me wants to believe that he said something stupid to a coach and now he's getting, like, doghoused for it.
I think he's just being eased back into the offense is what my hope here is. Like, coming off of an injury, I get it. Like, maybe they're just really easing. And they know that Mostert, like, this guy's got four games this year for us. We better use him for those four
right out the trunks.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to when do you decide whether to sell the farm for points or trade away points? I mean, if you want to be spicy about it, you do it now. Like, you've seen two games. You see now who lost a lot of their players, you know, and
I was just going to say when Nick Chubb's leg gets bent, that's what he decides.
Like, there are more teams than I'd like to, you know, gladly none of them are mine, but like, I've seen a couple of teams that have multiple of these players that are out now out multiple weeks. And they're just like, all right, I'm done for the season. Selling Keenan. We'll talk about that later. You know, selling this guy, selling that guy. And they're just like, no, done. Fine. Let's move on. And that just helps you this year because we always say week four. Like week four, you have such a sample size of you and everyone else in the league. On myfantasyleague.com, scores to power rank. And that gives you your all play, gives you your potential points, max and minimum scoring. Like that gives you a very good idea of where you sit among your league mates. Go check that out, and it'll give you an idea if your team is actually good or not, or if you just had good matchups or got lucky or whatever. And the earlier you make the decision, the cheaper your trades will be. Because once everyone wants to do that, people have no reason to sell cheaper. Like, so you might as well try and make your decision fast. I don't think there's a right time. Week four is like the usual answer. But if you have an idea now, just freaking go for it. Even if you're wrong, just go for it.
Yeah. Make a clear-cut direction is the one thing I'll add on to that. Like, don't be the wishy-washy person at week two after all of these injuries and go, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. And then you keep one foot in either side because that's just going to do you in, I think, for the long run.
And this isn't the exact question he asked, but I sort of like, I've done this a couple of times where I'll intentionally wait into the season, especially if I haven't done it mostly through laziness during the non-point scoring season, of really trying to rebuild a middling roster. I think it's a great idea to kind of start to let it go into the beginning of the season, and then you sell like a Davante Adams when he has a, you know, a 150-yard, 2-touchdown game, instead of trying to do it in the off season when nobody wants 30-year-old wide receivers. So I've done that a couple times, and you can usually, you know, you're going to get more for point scorers when they are scoring points. And like I said, that's not exactly the question he asked, but it's a fun move to sort of purposely kind of, you know, it's a riskier move, I guess, because stuff can happen in the off season to guys, but, yeah. It's something I'd like to do a couple times, and, it definitely generally will work out better for you if you kind of intentionally do it that way, as long as they don't get hurt.
I started my rebuild arguably 2 weeks too early. I did it literally right before the season started off in one of my leagues this year. And I kind of wish I had waited, honestly, an extra week or two, because there's some players like Stephon Diggs I traded away because he's a 29-year-old wide receiver. And I know I could have gotten more for him had I waited, even if the worst scenario plays out. We're like, oh, he's griping and he's not getting his targets right away in week one. We know that the game is coming where he's going to get those, and people are going to have hearts in their eyes.
Yeah, and of course the danger is what we just saw this week, like Nick Chubb. You see, you're not selling Nick Chubb now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's basically it.
All right. Well, that is our listener question. So let's hit up our Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage, except for TA1. And we do have a TA1, and it was the aforementioned Puka Nacua for 224 seconds, which it seems like we are all fine with that price. Mm-hmm. And the best part of this is the team I played against traded for Puka Nacua, but didn't start him.
Didn't stab him, yeah.
Yeah, and I won by 4 points. Yes.
No, why? Yeah, it's crazy to me. Awful. Yeah, I only had a few, I think 2 or 3 shares, but I started all of them. I know he was playing. I think it was the Niners this week, right?
I sat one, and it was because I have a very good team, and I'm like, oh, it's the Niners. They saw what happened, and they're good enough to know they didn't do that. They didn't stop him.
But yeah, I think that's a great price on both sides. Like, yeah, I think he's a more than a second, less than a first kind of guy anyway at this point. Yeah. After 2 games, yeah.
There you go. All right, so let's talk about Trade Addicts 3. I was very interested to see this, Rock. You sent your 25 first for Javonte Williams.
I did.
Javonte Williams. How do you feel about Javonte Williams, Jake?
I have been a little bit wait and see with Javonte, trying to adhere to the J.K. Dobbins situation from a year ago and saying, okay, I jumped the gun in trying to trade for J.K. Dobbins last year, coming off of that injury, and I did it too early. I should have waited a little bit. So I've been using the same approach for Javonte. I've been saying I'm not giving up anything for Javonte right now that the Javonte manager wants, which in this case was a first-round pick, which I just wouldn't feel comfortable doing yet.
Yeah, I think I'm there too. But like when you look at, and again, like we know what we think Javonte is. I think you were Javonte. You were the Javonte guy or Michael Carter guy? You were Javonte guy, Javonte, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I was the Michael Carter guy. You were the Javonte guy. Yeah. You win, regardless.
I've been a truther for a while, yes.
I mean, like, besides of what he did with the ball, like 13 touches, 6 targets game one, 12 touches, 3 targets game two. Like he's getting used, and that offense is absolutely still finding itself. Don't get me wrong. I love like a 68-yard touchdown to Mims. Like that just made my heart sing. But like he's getting good usage and has it. Oh man. Going up against the 28th, 27th, 23rd. They play the Chiefs, then they go against the 29th defense, sorry Packers, and then the Chiefs again. Like he has a very good string of matchups coming up. Like maybe this does start to work out well, and I'm curious more than anything, Jake, if he does, let's say he comes out these next 3 games and puts up high teens to low 20s, doesn't blow up completely, but like gives us that mid RB1 early on in the season that we didn't think we would start seeing. Like, do you think his price goes up to be more than just a first?
I think it stays close to this level. I think only in part because, and maybe this is just my own internal feeling spilling out too much, I don't want to trade for many running backs right now in Dynasty. Yeah. It's a very scary proposition trading for anybody that's worth more than a second round pick for a running back right now. So that's probably why I'm so avoidant. I don't know if the general consensus will be like that, but to your point, if the usage stays the same, but the fantasy points start to go up just little by little, I think it's still going to take like a boom game for him to move beyond a first round pick. So I think you'd still be safe, because I've just been waiting for, can we get a few solid games of decent production without an injury flare up? So hopefully that happens.
For me, this was offered to me actually, maybe because they probably listen to the podcast and know I'm a Javonte guy, but first of all, it did matter to me that it was a 25 first. That made it an easier call for me. And, you know, being 2 years out. Yeah. And the other thing is what you said, which is the usage. I mean, we're not sure if Javonte, I'm not even caring that much what he's producing with that right now. We were not sure he'd even be playing these first 2 weeks. And if he was, we weren't expecting great production. So I do think the value will go up. I think I will get points out of him if I choose to do that. I think I could possibly get a 24 first for him if I want to do that. So that was kind of my thinking.
Yeah. And I think I'm with you on that, agreeing that like you spend a 25 first now, and chances are you might, once, especially more running backs ends up getting hurt, let's be honest. Like, maybe you get a 24 first or well, or maybe you get a decent low end RB1 at best ish, depending on how many high end RBs keep getting hurt. But like, yeah, maybe you flip them for 24 first, or maybe you get someone that's pretty usable. Like, the process is absolutely there. I don't think I have it in, I'm with Jake, I don't have it in me to do that, well, but I 1000% get it. I also just hate running backs.
Yes.
Oh, man. But okay. So this next one, Clyde Edwards-Helaire and David Montgomery for James Conner and Rondale Moore. I saw this trade and I was just like, okay.
Exactly.
Like, I get it. Like, you want your points, so you go and trade for James Conner. And I will never give up on Rondale Moore. Like, it'll always be the offense's fault and not his.
Yeah.
But like, this was like the biggest shrug of a trade I ever saw. And I was like, okay, sure. Like, and the thing is, like, the reason, like, because, you know, David Montgomery's hurt. He's going to miss a couple of games. He's going to come back and he's going to get all of his carries back. Like, that just seems like the Lions way. He seems like more of a Lions running back than what Jahmyr Gibbs can be. Even though Gibbs looks good every time he has the ball. I don't think it matters. I don't know how much it matters to Dan Campbell. So, like, maybe you get more than James Conner for David Montgomery in 4 weeks. So maybe it's the smart move to do that. But I also don't mind just going and getting my meh points out of Conner from this trade also. Like this is the biggest of shoulder shrugs to me.
I mostly agree. I think I prefer the Conner side, though, just because, like, who's trading for David Montgomery? Like, even a healthy David Montgomery, like, does anybody really want David Montgomery?
If they want fantasy points, they do.
Getting a handful of fantasy points and the, like, occasional touchdown.
In 4 weeks, if you get a second for David Montgomery after this trade, I think you feel great about it, because I think you struggle to get a second for Conner and Rondale Moore.
Probably.
CEH, I mean, sorry for what you were, but you don't really factor into this.
Right. Not that Gibbs was ever going to be the lead running back, but I do think that Gibbs could cut into his workload more as his rookie season goes on and get more of the rushing work.
He should. I will say that.
He should. He's not going to overtake him because he's not that kind of back, probably, but I think he could definitely cut. Like, we could see games where David Montgomery is no longer getting 16 to 18 carries a game, and maybe it's being split more evenly with Gibbs or something like that.
Yeah, I view this as both of these running backs could be out of a job next season. You could get literally nothing for them beyond this year. So if I just look at it through that lens, then I want James Conner. I was very high on him coming into the season just because of sheer volume of touches and dump offs and whatever. And there's a chance, if David Montgomery and his coach are disagreeing about his timeline for recovery, like, that's just that little bit of a red flag to go, okay, I'll take the other guy.
That's why I said I like the Connor side, because I just trust Connor to get points more. And I kind of we're kind of seeing Arizona is, there seems to be that crappy team that doesn't realize they're supposed to be crappy and is going to be hang around in games. So Connor will get work, and when they're behind, he'll get the passing work. So I just trust him to get points more than I trust Montgomery. I feel Montgomery's way more touchdown dependent, where Connor could get those dump offs and things like that.
Who got one target for zero catches last game, Rocky?
Of course, you had to point that out now.
No, he did go 23 for 106 and a touchdown, but that's besides the point. Yeah, what is it with teams not realizing they're supposed to be bad? Like, they have themselves set up for Caleb Williams, and yes, they're kind of ruining it.
Yes, they're trying to win games. What the hell?
That's the weirdest thing ever. That's how you get yourself fired. Like, who was it? Lovie? Like,
yeah, Lovie Smith.
That got fired from the Texans because he won the last game.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on. The next trade, I loved this for some reason. Nick Chubb, unfortunately, got traded for Zach Moss and Zach Ertz. I saw this, I'm like, because when you could trade for two Zachs, you just got to do it.
You got it.
Yeah, was this a team name dependent trade? Were they just really angling to get some sort of double Zach pun into their team name? And maybe that's why they made the trade? If so, I approve.
I think this was a I'm sad now trade. And like I said before, if someone sends you something for Chubb and it's something, you take it. And I want Jonathan Taylor to come back. I honestly want Jonathan Taylor to stay on the Colts. But if he doesn't, Zach Moss is going to be okay-ish.
Zach Ertz is what, the tight end 6 right now or something? I don't know.
Zach Ertz is going to get that volume because, again, they don't realize they're supposed to be bad.
Yeah, like, and this didn't make the sheet because it was a minor trade, but yeah, I traded a third for Ertz in the league I'm contending. Yeah. So I think he's going to, especially in a 1.75 premium league, he's going to be worth it. And I was going to say too, that maybe they have Zach Evans and they're trying to corner the market.
Ooh. I'm in a Sniper Active, which is one of Ryan McDowell's leagues that is very guillotine-esque, but I didn't realize I was doing this. My first 5 picks, either the first or last name of the player started with a J.
Love it.
You only get, like, I think it's like 10 players. I had 8 out of 10 players. And the thing was, I almost, like, someone, like, I kept getting ruined. Like, 2 people before me, like, well, I got lucky on this one, took Deontay Johnson. I'm like, fine, I'll take someone else. Like, there's no one else with a J. And then someone took Juju from me. And I'm like, I could have gotten 2 J's. 2 J's.
So many J's for the bang for the buck value, man.
And of course, I did not get Justin Jefferson, by the way. Like, that was...
That would have been the jackpot.
Yeah.
Which begins with a J.
Unfortunately, also one was Aaron Jones. But I survived the week getting one of those zeros. So you have Nick Chubb on your team. You're competing. And someone sends you Zach Moss and Zach Ertz. Like, what goes through your mind, Jake?
I just take half an hour to myself in seclusion and probably listen to some Amy Mann. I don't know. I just get sad, but I eventually do think I click that accept button because you have to come to the realization. What else are you going to do?
You go in the darkness like Aaron Rodgers. And
that's right.
Oh my, Corey in the chat. In one league, I have Saquon, Chubb, Deontay, Kupp, and Rodgers.
I'm sorry, Corey. That's all I can say.
I have a contending team that has Kupp, Dobbins, and Aaron Jones, so that's been fun.
The fact that you're still calling them contending team seems optimistic.
It actually is. It's ridiculously good, that team, for some reason.
But what about you, Rock? Zach Moss and Zach Ertz for Nick Chubb. Like, do you think you can do better? Is really my question.
I feel like I have to get Zach Wilson thrown in. No,
that's too many Zachs. That's too many. Oh my god, those Kevin Hart commercials for DraftKings are actually really good this year. With it's just like magic. Fitz magic. Yeah, it's too much magic.
Yeah,
do you know how many jokes you have to tell to get $1 million? Well, Kevin Hart, it's just one joke for me. But like normal people, that's a lot. Like.
Classic.
Those are like good for you. All right, sorry, Rock.
I kind of feel like I'm at the point, and I do have a couple teams with Chubb. I haven't tried selling them for anything yet, but yeah, get what you can get. I mean, I don't know that you're getting much more than this. So, I like we all said, I mean, people, you know, unless you're playing maybe in a home league where people actually think Nick Chubb might be something next year, we all kind of agreed this is probably a career ender. So if you can get anything for him that'll give you some points in your lineup, why not? I like this is like the equivalent of two thirds, maybe a late second and a third at most. I'd be thrilled to get that for Chubb at this point.
Yeah, go find and see if the team that has Jerome Ford is rebuilding and he's just been sitting on their taxi squad or something and see if you could send them Chubb for Jerome Ford and like, hey, he'll come back at the end of next year and you'll get a first for him, huh? And then just feel really, really dirty if that works because you lied.
Gonna need a sudsy shower after that one.
Yeah. Ugh. All right. Yeah, I'm with you guys, by the way. I take this and feel really, really bad about myself. Until I score, like, until I have two people that are scoring points in my lineup next week, as opposed to someone that isn't and won't be. Trade Addicts 4, Brandon Ayuk for a 25 first and 25 second. This was me, so I'm going to go last on this one. What do you think, Jake?
Ooh, I've always been the Ayuk guy, so it's very hard for me because they're 25 picks. To want the 25 picks. I will err on the side of Brandon Ayuk because he is still so young. I maintain that he's going to have the most usable weeks out of anybody from that group, not named CMC on the 49ers. So I'm on the Ayuk side.
I'm with Jake. I've recently in the past year or so become the Ayuk guy. I'm pretty bullish on him. I've acquired him a couple of places, drafted him in my redraft, one redraft league I do every year. Was pretty happy week one. And like you said, the fact that they're 25s makes it elite. I don't know if I give up a 24 first and second, but I'd give up a 25 first and second for him.
Yeah. And I mean, I said it last week that I wanted to get more Ayuk before the season started and I just didn't try hard enough. And I think before the season started, maybe I get away with it just for a 25 first, not a first and second. So I paid the laziness tax. That's really what it comes down to. I've always liked the idea of Brandon Ayuk, but he didn't fit in that offense until Brock Purdy became their quarterback. And it was obvious the two of them are good together. And that's when I started to become like in on Ayuk. The second Purdy was announced the starter, I was like, okay, give him all the Ayuks. And I mean, it paid off wonderfully in week one, week two. Yeah. But like, I think it's going to be good for the season. And like Jake said, he's going to be the best of their pass catchers. Like, I need Kittle to stop being hobbled. Like, but even he, I mean, it's only been two games, but like, I need Kittle to do something good for me because I also traded for a lot of him last season. But like I do just hit, Ayuk and Purdy just seems to be like a very good combo. So I went back and forth on this one a lot, trying to work a player in to not just send picks. But when it came down to it, like we stopped for a day or two. And I'm just like, I know he's going to accept this and I don't want to send it. But I want Ayuk on my team, so I'm going to do it anyway. And it was really funny. I forgot who I was talking to. And I think it was David who is in TA 6, I think. He's like, when I realize I don't have my 24 first, I'm much more likely to right away send my 25 first away. And I'm like, you know, I just did that in TA 4. Yeah. And that was this. I'm like, because he comes from my 25 first and something, and it was too much. And I'm going back and forth and I'm like, oh, well, I don't have my 24 first. So it's not like I'm rebuilding or anything. And when a 25 first comes along, it's just like, but I like Ayuk and I like the situation he's in now. Why not just get those points if I can't tank this year? So I just did it. Like that was like legitimately my thought process and I still feel good about it. And I would have felt better about it 2 weeks ago if it was just a first, but you know, whatever. What's the 212? Am I right?
Oh, drop the mic. Yeah. Do it. Pick it up and throw it.
Yeah, no, this team's not that good, but still, it's good enough. But all that matters is making the playoffs out of spite because you don't have your first. So, like, I just need to make the playoffs to make my pick worse with the other people. Yeah, another TA4 trade we have is George Pickens and Mac Jones for Kyler Murray and a 25 second. I have no idea how to feel about this, so I need someone else to talk.
I have very strong feelings about this one, probably more than any other trade that's listed here, actually, because I just am not writing off Kyler Murray. I know it's a popular thing, and to a large extent, I understand why. I'm just not doing it. I believe that because, again, the Cardinals do not see themselves as the bad team that everybody else sees them to be. I think Kyler does play this year. I think he probably plays a fair amount this year already. I want really not much to do with Mac Jones. I mean, my second quarterback in a super flex league, I'm just still automatically looking to upgrade him. And George Pickens, I have nothing but hope for, but hope to me is worth a second round pick pretty easily.
I knew I liked you, Jake. I've been the Kyler guy basically all year, ever, you know, all this non-point scoring season. To me, this is pretty easily Kyler. When he comes back, and like you said, I think he is back this year. There's a lot of talk that he's going to sit the whole year. I don't think, and maybe I'm wrong, because he does definitely, they said, you know, there's attitude issues there or whatever. You know, he wants to play Call of Duty all the time or whatever it is. But
who doesn't?
But I don't think he's going to want to sit out the entire season. And I agree. I don't think they're going to want him to sit out the entire season. So, yeah, I think he's going to play. I think he's a much better, even if you don't think he's an amazing real life quarterback, he's a easy top 10 QB, maybe top 8 QB, given his rushing ability. And he's a pretty good passer, you know, relative to especially a lot of the other guys that were like Justin Fields or whatever, that we're getting, or Anthony Richardson that we're all high on because of the rushing ability. He can actually throw the ball a little bit. So I like Pickens. I don't like Mac Jones, so I'll take Kyler.
Now, I'm pretty sure I'm not making this up, but I believe Kyler Murray's lowest points per game season was QB6. So
I appreciate good. You making that up.
I might be. I feel like it's been brought up before, and I think that might be right. Somewhere, but I'm talking points range. Per game, not total, because he keeps getting, you know, he's gotten hurt a few times. But like the thing with this is, you're like I know we try not to have context in our show when it comes to like trades, because we're just trying to gauge value more than anything else. Though when it's my trade, I'll always add context because it's my show and I want to. But like, did you have Aaron Rodgers on your team? Like, and like, because when you had Kyler Murray, you weren't expecting points this year. So why sell Kyler for Mac Jones? And don't get me wrong, definitely higher on Mac Jones than Rocky is. You know, like, I think this offense will be pretty good with it. Not just a offensive coordinator, because any would have been better than what it was, but like Bill O'Brien's a good offensive coordinator. And I feel like they will start bringing talent onto their team, which, you know.
Keep holding your breath, Russ.
I love me some Juju, man. If they just got DeAndre Hopkins, that offense would have been baller. I get it. Like, Mac Jones is going to score you decent low end. No, sorry. Like, high mid QB2 scores. Like, he's going to be in that glut of 18, hopefully 20 point per game. Okay. But like, and again, Pickens, if that offense could not be awful, Pickens could be good. It just, it feels weird. And then you add a second on top and it's just like, again, going on value alone, to me, this is Kyler, which is weird for me because I get that Kyler's good. It's just I'm very impatient, so I'm willing to trade away things that are going to make me sit and wait for a while. But I wouldn't trade Kyler for this. No. Okay, Trade Addicts 5. Speaking of DeAndre Hopkins, Trade Addicts 5, Tony Pollard and DeAndre Hopkins for Devon Achane and Jameson Williams. Okay, so remember how I said we don't like to give context, but when it's mine, I'm going to do it anyway. I need pure honesty. This is my trade. Okay. This offer was sent to me as is. I looked at it. I went to put my phone down to like think about it, and I'm just like, I just don't feel like thinking about it, and I hit the accept button. I did not think about this trade at all. I'm just like, oh, I like points. And hit accept.
Okay. I'm glad you clarified, because yeah. I was going to feel really bad coming out and saying you shouldn't have to think about it if it's the Hopkins and Pollard side that you're getting in return, because it still looks a lot like it's the Pickens thing. There's a lot of hope here on the other side with A-Chain, and there's a lot of hope there with Jameson Williams when he eventually comes back. But like, there's a very plausible option where neither of those guys crack your starting lineup for weeks, maybe ever. A year, 2 years. Yeah, it could just never happen for them. DeAndre Hopkins is going to be in your lineup tomorrow. Tony Pollard is going to be in there tomorrow and probably for at least a couple of years.
I'm 100% with Jake. That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, these two guys have literally done next to nothing. Like, Devin A-Chain has like two or three touches on the season in his rookie year, and Jameson Williams has barely played in a year and is suspended for the first six games. So yes, we liked both coming out, especially Williams, but Tony Pollard's by far the most valuable asset in this trade, just value wise, I think, even if you're not talking points. So yeah, I definitely like that side.
Yeah. And I will always just love DeAndre Hopkins, because he's just so dang good. Hashtag Dean Clinton's a big wide receiver. And like, the thing, what made me hesitant at first at all is, A, I really do like Devon A-Chain, especially in Miami. Like, when – I keep feeling bad saying this, like, when Mostert gets hurt. Like, because that's, like, I want the guy to get hurt. Like, I love watching him play. It's weird. It seems like there's a glitch in the Matrix, because it doesn't look like he's trying, but he's three times faster than everybody. Like, it feels wrong. Like, he's on, like, fast forward when everyone else is, like, in slow motion. But, like, that's what A-Chain is. He's really, really fast. He's little, and he's shifty. Like, that, like, not to say that A-Chain can do what Mostert is doing right now, because I have absolutely no idea. I don't actually evaluate players. I just listen to what other people tell me. Like, but it seems like he fits there. So that's why it makes me a little sad that it's not happening, but I believe it can, and maybe will, maybe not for good reasons, but in general, I think it will. And Jameson Williams, the only reason I feel I didn't want to trade him away is because, like, I think his value is going to go up when he's getting ready to play. That's really all it is. And chances are it will, but like, Pollard is scoring points and I like Hopkins. That was enough for me just to be like, whatever, man. Okay. Yeah, fine. So I hope whoever sent this actually liked the deal they sent, because they got it.
I do agree, for what it's worth. A-Chain eventually will find his way into this offense at some point, and it probably will be because of the injury to Raheem Mostert. But again, as much as I believe that, it's not proven, and so I just rather take the proven.
Yeah, that's where kind of I was. So Trade Addict 6, this was one of those teams that had Chubb and at least one other player, I think it was Aaron Rodgers, that ended up going down. And they're just like, all right, someone buy these points. Unfortunately, TA6, I'm not in the point buying state, seeing as how I have zero starting quarterbacks. But Keenan Allen got traded for a 24 second and third. Now, the reason I still put this on the sheet, even though this is very, you go spend a second and third to go get Keenan Allen, to point it out there, go look to see who has Keenan Allen and go send them a second and third for Keenan Allen, because he's really, really good. That offense is going to be good. Always. Just, it doesn't matter how old Keenan Allen is. Speed has literally zero to do with his game. He can just shake people out of their pads. Go get Keenan Allen. Send a second and third without even thinking about it, assuming you want to score points.
Yeah, it seems like every year nobody wants Keenan Allen. Since the injury-prone days of the lacerated kidney and whatever random injury he was racking up when that actually happened. And it just seems like
his kidneys are so weak.
They're super weak, bro. I can't have those weak kidneys on my roster.
And you have those compensatory liver injuries whenever those kidneys.
Exactly.
It's like, I don't, and it's just bizarre. And I think that people are still forgetting, like, you're not just paying that second and third for this year for Keenan Allen. He's probably going to be doing the same thing next year. At least I'd be willing to bet that he is, or a close proximity for it, because why not? So a second and a third is 1,000% worth it.
Yeah, just remember how long Larry Fitzgerald hung around and was fantasy relevant for. Not to say he is Larry Fitzgerald, because Larry Fitzgerald was something special. Like, the man had more tackles than drops, which is the craziest thing in the world to me. and awesome. Awesome. But yeah, he's really, 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 really good. So you should go do that. Yeah. The last trade we have was Michael Pittman for a 24 second and 25 first. How do you feel about that, Jake?
I don't believe in Michael Pittman that much, personally, to give up a first for him. I'd rather be holding on to the picks, even though it's a 25 first. It's just he's not the type of wide receiver that I go out trying to acquire for that cost. So I'd be holding tight.
Rock. I think I'm with Jake. I've never been a big Pittman guy. I don't love him with Richardson. He did have a good week one. I think he kind of came down a little bit in week two. But I didn't believe him that much to begin with. I never thought he was really going to be a consistent wide receiver one. And Richardson scares the hell out of me. Like, I know he's performed well from a fantasy perspective for the first couple weeks, but I just don't believe he's ever going to be a very good passer. Maybe I'm short-sighted. If he's amazing by the end of the year, I'll take the L. But I don't see it. And he needs something better than a good running quarterback who's good for fantasy to produce consistently. So
I will say I am a very big Michael Pittman person. I would have endless amounts of Michael Pittman on my team from rookie drafts had he not been right next to T. Higgins in rookie drafts. I had to trade up many, many times after drafting T. Higgins because I wanted both of them, and I was never taking Pittman before T. Higgins. So, you know, like I really do like Michael Pittman, and I have let go of my dream that he's going to be a top 12 wide receiver. It's not going to happen. I get it. I was very encouraged by what we've seen with him with Anthony Richardson. And I don't care if Richardson is great or not because he's doing well enough. And I don't think you get worse from what he's doing right now. Cause he's again, not doing great right now, but he's doing good enough. As long as he can stay good enough, Michael Pittman will do well enough because he's the best receiver pass catcher they have. Though Kylan Granson might be my favorite player in the NFL now. I don't know if everybody saw his tweet after catching his first touchdown. Him and his significant other, I don't know if they're married, whatever, but they did baby photos with a football.
Incredible.
And they were good. They were high production. I clapped at my monitor. I was like, yes, okay, I love you, Kylan Granson. I'm going to go trade for you somewhere. All of that being said, I traded away Michael Pittman here because this is a team I am rebuilding on. And unfortunately for me, I have Devonta Smith, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Michael Pittman on my team, which means I put up 100 points alone with them three in week one.
A terrible situation for you to have those amazing players, by the way. I'm so sad for you, Russ.
I don't have a starting quarterback. I have to start Tyler Heinicke. And I don't remember. I have a running back who scores points, but not a lot of. Oh, no, I have Roshan because I love that guy. I won't trade him away. I was going back and forth a lot with Pittman, and I was trying HE double hockey sticks to get more. I wanted a 24 first, but it's really funny. He's like, no, I have a feeling this first is going to be early. And I'm like, look at his team. His team is scoring points. His team is built to score points. And he's like, no, one injury and he's going to fire sell. It's going to happen. And then Nick Chubb got hurt and he started fire selling. I'm like, once I realized I couldn't get a 24 first, I was resigned to this trade. Tried to get better. And then the same thing happened before. I'm just like, with the Ayuk trade, I'm like, it died for a day or two. And I'm just like, he'll accept this. Let me send it. Because I wanted to get Pittman off of my team. And I realized I had four firsts in 25 already. So why not have five?
Just go for the full gamut at this point.
And this is the league where J. Mike had the J. Mike Invitational of having, I think it was 14 of the first 16 picks. So maybe I should go try and do it for 25, which is already going to, not as good of a class as 21. That's for sure. But like, it seemed like fine. And I feel like there's a lot of people out there who aren't Pittman people. So they would think I did good, even though I don't feel like I did great. And that guy was fine to send that because he also likes Pittman. And I care what people think about me. And it's just the way it went.
We still love you after that trade, Russ.
Corey says, I'll trade you Pittman and TA9, except no, that is one of the many teams I am rebuilding in. But that is the end of our show sheet, so that is going to be the end of our show. As always, Jake, it is a privilege and a pleasure to be graced with your presence, and thank you again for coming on. I hope you had fun, because you know I sure did.
I had an amazing time. I love you both. I always have a great time every single time that I stop by. I'm going to stop saying time. I've said time too many times, and now it's not a word anymore. But I really did love all of this.
You know what really freaked me out? One time I said the word bowl too many times in a row, and I couldn't remember how to say it.
Bowl.
And I was older than I'd like to admit at the time. But before we head out of here, before I say even dumber things, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
Yeah, you can find me at Jake Trowbridge on Twitter or whatever it's being called. Or check out Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life. That's where all my goofy videos are housed. And you can find me co-hosting the Drinking Talking Fantasy Football Pod every Tuesday live on YouTube. Or just download it after. That's fine, too.
As long as he gets those numbers, he doesn't care.
That's right.
Before we finish, before we finish up, Russ, I meant to ask you, way back at the beginning of the show, Frank said, I feel like this is the thickest I've seen Russ's beard. I kind of agree.
Oh, this 100% is the biggest my beard has ever been. And the thing is, like, my beard doesn't grow down. It kind of grows out, which is kind of the same thing with the hair on my head. It doesn't go down. It just kind of helmets. I'm just lazy. It's not a conscious decision. It's just that I don't feel like doing anything about it. Like, at this point, it'll be a pain in the ass to do, and it's going to make a lot of a mess. No matter how clean I've seen people like pull plastic bags over their heads. Like, I've tried, like, nothing works. It's a Wild West scene when I try and trim my beard. Just hair everywhere. It's never worth it. So I'm just like, all right, Santa Claus, here I come.
Hey, man, winter's coming. You got to
make
sure that you protect the face against the harshness of the cold.
Shaving in winter, I've done that once. It was the worst thing I've ever – it was the worst idea I ever had. Your face gets cold fast.
Get some extra money playing Santa Claus.
There you go. I already got the belt for it, so let's keep going.
3 months, yeah.
Well, on that note, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can hang out with us while we record, give us things to talk about, tell us how wrong I am on many things, which is always the case. And also, we have the awesome chat on Discord, the Cool Kids Club. It's just a great time. But also, more importantly, every week, Tuesday afternoon, on the Fantasy Cares YouTube channel, we do a weekly SFB recap show, and we do giveaways. We've given away Funko Pops every single week. We gave away a Daniel Jones jersey this week. Every week, we're going to have a... We call it a giveaway goodness contest. Everybody who donates gets a bunch of entries into a contest. This week we are doing DeAndre Swift. If you were a patron and watching us record or watch us after the fact, because like Jake, I don't care as long as we get our numbers. You can see me holding up this beautiful DeAndre Swift jersey. But also fantasycares.org. You can check all that stuff out anyway. And Fantasy Cares, I'm going to say it again, because that's all that really matters at this point. I think bed is all that really matters on this point, because I don't even know what I'm saying anymore, because I think I said bowl too many times. Night, everybody.
Night, Russ.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.